I'm Brian Russo, and welcome back to Coastal Connection. We've been revisiting some of our favorite series from the past year, and we'll finish the program today by taking a listen to a trip to one of our destinations during our Sinking Gems of the Chesapeake series. We started the series back in March by setting our heading towards Tangier Island. To say that Tangier is a truly unique place is kind of a big understatement. If you've ever been there, you know what I mean. And if you haven't, you'll soon hear. See, for starters, there's only two ways to get to the island, either by boat or by plane. We chose the latter mode of transportation, and we began our trip at the Ocean City Municipal Airport. It's a warm, hazy Friday morning, and pilot Jeff Feige is about to take me and Coastal Connection producer Tara Boyle on a flight in his 1959 Piper Comanche. Our destination, Tangier Island.
Everybody ready to blast out of here?
Tangier is a small slip of land in the middle of the Chesapeake Bay, 3 miles long by 1 mile wide, and more than 500 people call this island home. It's only 20 minutes from Ocean City by plane, but it doesn't take long after touchdown to realize you've arrived in a truly unusual place. For starters, there are almost no cars here on Tangier.
So, we've been watching people as we're driving around in a golf cart. This is how people really get their mode of transportation around here. Golf carts, scooters, bikes. Because the road, and I literally mean road, is not wide enough for cars. Really no stop signs, no street lights. It seems like everything's kind of guided by white picket fences.
As we drove around, past humble homes, a few gift shops, and a handful of bed and breakfasts, people nodded or waved to us as we passed by. But it was immediately obvious that we were outsiders, and not just because of our skills driving that golf cart.
That's not it. You wouldn't go off-road?
I'd do it.
You would do it or you wouldn't?
I would.
Brake pedal, sweat forward or reverse.
We eventually figured out how to operate that golf cart, and we made our way to Lorraine's, the one restaurant on Tangier that's open in the off-season. That's where we met up with James Eskridge. He's the mayor of Tangier. As he tucked into a steaming bowl of cream of crab soup, Mayor Eskridge told us about his other gig as a commercial waterman. For Eskridge and the other men who make a living on the water, it's more than just a job. It's a way of life that has sustained the families of this island for generations.
Tangier Island is, first and foremost, is a crabbing or fishing community, and we totally depend on making our livelihood from the water. That's how we pay our bills. That's how we send our kids to college, and tourism is increasing on the island, and we welcome tourism, but it won't take the place of crabbing.
So I guess let's try and paint the picture a little bit for people that haven't been here, what an average day on Tangier Island is like for the, you know, few hundred people that call this place home.
Being a waterman on Tangier Island, the day starts very early, especially in the summertime. If you deal with soft crabs, your day will begin at 2:30 in the morning. And you actually get up, you go out to our place of business, crab shanties, we call them, our crab houses, or just their houses out in the harbor on stilts or poles. And that's where we keep our boats and crab pots. And that's where we shed the soft crabs into tanks out there.
You know, you were speaking earlier about how when you were growing up, a lot of fellas your age didn't necessarily finish school. They dropped out of school and got into the waterman business. For the youths on the island here, you know, the young boys that are coming up through school, are they going to be watermen?
Most of the guys that graduate from high school now, they don't follow in their father's footsteps. They don't become watermen. Some go on tugboats. They get jobs working on tugboats, which is good. I mean, it's a great job. They have the benefits in retirement, and they're usually on the boats for 2 weeks, then home 2 weeks, but the increase in the cost of doing the job, just the folks aren't interested in pursuing the job and working on the water. So the number of watermen has dropped dramatically in the past few years.
It's interesting because, you know, when you come into town, you realize that it's such a small community. Everybody kind of knows each other and knows my first name. And first thing I notice is how often everybody waves, even though they don't know you. So I guess what's the feeling by the people that live in this community, by all the new faces that are coming into town?
Folks on the island, we do know everybody that lives here. That can be good, that can be bad. whenever anybody, anytime anybody is new in town, we know it. You stand out because, like I said, we know everybody. For the most part, the folks that come over are nice people. Sometimes you get some folks that I don't know what they were expecting when they come over here. I suppose they're disappointed a little bit. I know some of them are disappointed because we're a dry island. You can't buy alcohol on the island. There's alcohol on the island. I wouldn't like to have to drink what's over here, but you can't buy it here, and you can't serve it in the restaurants. And a lot of folks are really upset when they get over here and can't get any. But you know, if you come over for a couple hours or so and you throw a fit because you can't get alcohol, you've got a problem.
If you're just joining us, you're listening to Coastal Connection here on 88.3 in Ocean City, Maryland. We're speaking with James Eskridge. He's the mayor and a waterman here on Tangier Island. Mr. Mayor, let's talk a little bit about your political career a little bit. Tell me, I guess, about some of the troubles and some of the things that, you know, you have to deal with as mayor that, you know, sometimes you have to make the tough decisions. Sometimes you have to make the decisions that help the betterment of the community. So I guess what's Tangier facing? I know, you know, erosion is a big one. But talk about some of the other ones.
Being mayor of Tangier Island, it's really a greater responsibility than I envisioned it to be. Our main problem on Tangier is the erosion problem. We're constantly seeking money, funding for seawalls and just protection because we're losing a lot of land to erosion, especially when we get the East Coast storms, hurricanes, and whatever. And in some areas, we get a lot of resistance to what we're doing. But also being mayor with the local issues, when you know everybody, and there's a mayor and six town council. That's the town government. And whenever we make a decision, it's for the best interest of the town as a whole. But you've always got folks that disagree with some decisions, and it's not long after they learn of the decision that they're calling the mayor, and or even just making a house call, dropping by to talk about the issue. But it's pretty good. One of the main reasons I became mayor, it gave me an opportunity to talk with our governor and our congressman about the issues that concern the watermen. It was a way to get our voice out there. So I would say that's the main reason I got into the politics. I don't want to become a career politician, but I think everybody should take their turn into town government.
Well, let's talk about some of the idiosyncratic, you know, ways of life here. I know there's a mail boat that comes here. People get their mail in late afternoon, and I guess seemingly that's when people get their newspapers. You know, I know going to the store to pick up some groceries is definitely a different experience than people that live on the mainland. Talk a little bit about that.
Tangier Island, of course, in the summertime, we have three tour boats that come in regular during the tourist season, but we have a mail boat that makes the run year-round. Leaves Tangier at 8 a.m. and leaves Chrisfield, Maryland at 12:30 to return. And the mail boat, it brings passengers, supplies, and freight. It brings the mail, UPS, FedEx, whatever needs to come over, golf carts. A lot of the folks, that can be the main event for the day, waiting for the mail boat to come in. And also, we have one grocery store on the island, but the guy that owns the grocery store, he goes over to the mainland with his boat on a Thursday to get the grub to restock the grocery store. And until he's gets the groceries from his boat to the store closes for a part of the day. And then when they open up in the afternoon, man, and it's a madhouse there, folks just, you would think these folks have been out of food for 2 weeks.
Are you finding that as time goes on and you know, people start to see what's going on in the mainland, do you find that kids want to stay here, or once they graduate high school they're trying to leave?
Most of the kids on Tangier, once they leave high school, they tend not to come back. They either attend college or find jobs on the mainland. I have two sons. My oldest son, he loved the water business. And he's one of the younger crabbers on the island, but he loves what he's doing. But my younger son really didn't care for the water business and difficulties in it, and he moved to the mainland. More and more, the younger folks are leaving the island.
I read last week about a terrible tragedy that happened here on the island, and as we were riding around on our golf cart earlier, we passed by the house that caught fire, causing a fatality of an older lady. It seems that the mood of this town is still very much in shock about what happened. You know, talk about that and you know, I guess how this town is going to kind of rally around, you know, each other and try and heal from this terrible tragedy.
Yeah, last Saturday, actually, we had a terrible tragedy on the island, a house fire that claimed the life of the lady was 79, Bird Parks, that lived there. She was confined to a wheelchair. And just Tangier is such a close-knit community. And when we lose somebody, it's just like losing part of the family. The fire department done an outstanding job containing the fire. But we had folks that, just neighbors that were not part of the fire department, but they were risking their lives to get the lady out and to put the fire out. And then afterwards, they're doing all they can for the family. They're comforting the family. They're giving money and food and clothes to them. And actually, this Saturday, a group of the men are getting together to start demolishing the house and removing it. I mean, if we can get the house out of the way, it will be easier for the family to heal.
You know, you talk to people that have come here and visited, and anytime anybody returns, they've told me that, you know, there's really no place like this that they've ever been. Have you ever experienced a place like this? And I guess why do you think that the old way of doing things and the quaint lifestyle, the easygoing kind of coastal ideals work so well here?
We have a lot of folks that come to Tangier, and they're actually surprised in the way we live, our lifestyle. And I've had folks to comment that they didn't realize towns like this do existed in the country. Like any place and any job that you do, you have your ups and downs, but it's a simple way of life, and simple is better. Things are getting really too complicated out there, and so if we can keep it simple, that's the way we want to go.
Of course, even Tangier can't avoid the outside world, and as life on the island slowly changes, the community has created a museum to document the artifacts and old ways of doing things. We swung by the Tangier History Museum after our lunch with Mayor Eskridge. It's tucked inside a small white-sided house with a big front porch.
I'm Deborah Howard, and I'm the director for the Tangier History Museum.
Howard is still something of an outsider on Tangier. She and her husband sailed here from the Bahamas a few years ago and decided to stay put. One thing led to another, and she ended up running this museum. Howard gave us a tour of the museum's exhibits and explained the origins of the unusual accent you hear on this island.
Well, it's very unique. It's strictly Tangier, but it has its basis in Cornwall, but very colorful. And the way they put the words together is what makes it so different. If I'm speaking to somebody from Tangier, I can understand because I think they'll slow it down. But if I overhear two folks from Tangier speaking, I generally don't know what they're saying, and mm-hmm. It's wonderful. It's really beautiful to hear. So
let's just maybe look around and see some of the highlights.
This is one of my favorite. There's a couple. We call this the women's room. It's just a room of older items that would pertain to women's life on the island. On the island, and even to this day, men and women don't socialize as much as, say, on the mainland. They'll have ladies' night where the women get together and have a good time and dance and have food, and then the men do their thing. They do get together, but there is a holdover from when the men and women definitely did their own thing. There was a women's work, and then there was men's work.
I keep seeing these baseball jerseys. I mean, you know, you come here, you don't really think sport is too much a part of the culture here. So what's the significance of these?
Well, at one time there were enough people on this island where there was different baseball teams, and there are different areas. There's Canton, they had their team, and then Black Dye, which is the southern end of the island where the ships used to come in. There's meat soup. They call that meat soup because the people there had more money and they could afford to put meat in their soup. Mm-hmm. And then you have the West Ridge people and King Street, which is now Main Ridge, and they all had their baseball teams. And there was a field over by the school, and there were some very competitive baseball teams apparently in the past.
Does that still go on now, or is that kind of a, you know, a nostalgic thing now?
The baseball is nostalgic because the land has sunk so much that they lost their baseball field. However, there are the basketball marathons and the volleyball marathons, which are very popular, and they'll run sometimes into like 1 a.m, people playing basketball.
You know, you were talking about the different kind of sections of town. Is there still a sense of that here now? I mean, do people kind of classify themselves in these little microcosms of this small island?
Well, the island is 3 miles by about 1.5 miles. And I was asking some ladies, it must be nice that you always have known your husband because you probably played with them when you were children. And they looked kind of surprised. It was like, no, he lived over on the West Ridge and I lived on the Main Ridge. And while, you know, to us that's close in their relative terms, that was another town. And they met in school when they would gather for school. But pretty much, from what I can read from memoirs, is that the little communities stayed amongst themselves. At one time, there were 7 or 8 grocery stores on this island, so you didn't have to get off of your little ridge. Mm-hmm. And the people worked as watermen, and their boats were in their backyard. So in some ways, now that everybody uses the mailboat to get off, and the people are doing different things to make a living, you know, all the ridges, it's all just one island now. But at one time, it was different.
As we walk this way a little bit, tell me a little bit about, you know, I know one of the biggest concerns is the impacts of Mother Nature on this island and erosion. And I guess how has this island changed, you know, just in the past few decades? And I guess, you know, what are the concerns moving forward about, you know, this perhaps being a disappearing island?
Well, that's a huge concern for the island, but it's been going on for a lot longer than a couple of decades. The southern end of the Chesapeake Bay is a meteor impact zone. The wells here, to get water, we have to drill 1,500 feet to get water. We have 7 artesian wells here to get our water. So what has happened is that with the meteor impact zone, the bedrock has been pushed deep, and really Tangier is sitting on a sandbar, sand on top of sand, and it's slowly sinking. But Captain John Smith even noted it way back, you know, almost 400 years ago. Everyone has noted it since that time, but it's really picking up speed now. We're losing 7 to 9 acres a year, and without a seawall, this community could disappear in my lifetime.
I guess what's the thing that surprises you the most, that I guess you like the most about being here on this island, that maybe surprised you before you got here?
I think what I like the most is the sense of family here. I didn't understand until I moved here that this entire island is just one large family. And I mean, through blood, through marriage, through people moving here and then being incorporated into it. When something happens to somebody on this island, it's heartbreaking for everybody. If something really good happens to somebody out here, I think the whole island's excited about it. And I like that sense of community.
And residents are trying hard to maintain that sense of community, even as their children go to college and move away. And it gets harder for those who stay here to make a living. But despite the challenges, and despite the erosion slowly eating away at their land, the people who live here say Tangier is the only home they know, and they'll do anything they can to keep this way of life from disappearing into the Chesapeake. To learn more about how you can visit Tangier Island, check out our website, wamucoast.org. You're listening to Coastal Connection. I'm Brian Russo.